This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here we are, folks. The Premier League run-in starts today. Six games to rule them all, six games to find them, six games to bind them all, and in the Premier League, bind them. It's Thursday, April 25th. I'm Adam Booker.
I'm Ollie McCool.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
What's here for Gundogan? It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to the City Report Podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. No, as much as I wish it was, this is not a Lord of the Rings fan fiction podcast. Ollie, welcome back. How are things?
I'm really good, thank you. You know, after all the talk of City breaks yesterday, it's nice to actually get on talking about the City that everyone understands, as we found out in our group chat this morning, which is quite entertaining.
Yeah, and I've sent yesterday's episode, which was great, by the way. If you haven't listened, go back at the end of this episode, listen to yesterday's Coffee Corner, where Ollie, Joe, and Amos answered your questions about João Cancelo, footballing holidays, and referred to as city breaks, which is a point of controversy now online and in the group chats, and other things like that. So go and listen to that episode when you're done here. But today we'll talk about the Premier League title race, because it's heating up now. And at the time of recording, City are not top of the table at the moment. Arsenal and Liverpool both ahead of them, but have played one game more. Arsenal have played two games more. So City are 4 points back at the moment, but as we know, games in hand are not automatic wins. Ollie, we'll talk about Brighton a bit more in part two. But I want to start just with the kind of the Premier League title race as a whole, because obviously we had that day where Arsenal lost to Aston Villa, Liverpool lost to Crystal Palace, and City won the previous day, and it felt like that big swing, but it doesn't feel like the swings are done.
No, you know, the person who'd be bold enough to say City, Arsenal and Liverpool are all, you know, going to absolutely go for it, it's going to be very, very tight in terms of dropping points, I think that's a little bit misguided considering the performances we've seen this season from all three. I mean, I said on yesterday's episode, as a spoiler for those who haven't listened, I said, if City go on and win it, I don't think they're that deserving of it. And I stand by that 24 hours later. I don't think City have been anywhere near their best this season. I don't think they've shown title winning form.
Define deserved. Surely the team that deserves it is the team that finishes with the most points, right?
Well, there is that kind of more literal way of looking at it. But I just think in terms, if you base it off City's performances and how they've played, how they've got their points, and, you know, people can say, well, that doesn't matter. You know, what matters is getting the 3 points in a title race. That is very much true. But I think we expect better of this City side is what I'm trying to get across. You know, we expect better performances.
I'm going to play optimistic or positive devil's advocate here, which I know is a major shock that me bringing the optimism and the positivity. But could you not say that that's just another wrinkle in this City side, that they can not perform to their highest level? They can fall out of games every once in a while and still find ways to win, as opposed to the treble season or maybe the Centurion season, where it almost felt like a coast by the end.
Oh, for sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the way that City have, you know, gone about it this year is more mentality, I think, than quality on the pitch at times, in terms of physical quality, I mean. But, you know, I look at Liverpool and I look at Arsenal, I just think there's another twist here to come. And obviously, Spurs away, second last game of the season. It feels, you know, yes, there's three teams in Cyprus, but it feels a bit like 18-19, you know, where we had that game in hand against Leicester at the very end, second last game of the season. And that was what, you know, put us on top on our own right, all games played. And then led to a win away at Brighton, kind of ironically.
Just as a tangent, speaking of that Leicester game, which obviously is probably one of the top, I don't know, five or six City games that will go down in the memory. If you could pick one player this season to have a Vincent Kompany-esque moment, who would it be?
Oh, a Vincent, you know what?
Before you answer, I'm going to give my two cents.
Yeah, if I could
replicate that moment, a game that's City are finding it tough to break down Spurs on the second to last game of the season. I want John Stones to step up from defense and leather the ball into the top corner.
I'm going between either John Stones or, you know, giving Rodri another iconic moment. Because whenever Rodri scores, it's always brilliant and it's always a big goal. But I think for the kind of injury-stricken season, you know, you could actually say it's a relatively similar season to what Kompany had in 18-19. You know, struggled to get in the team because of injuries, you know, wasn't fit for a lot of it, but, you know, comes back fighting at the end. And you know, we're going to come on to Stones, I'm sure, in the second half of this episode when we talk about this game in particular against Brighton. But you feel like this has got to be his moment to kind of imprint on the title race, imprint on this squad after a very stop-start season for him. How amazing would that be? You know, Nathan Ake got the goal in the FA Cup against Spurs a couple of months ago. How great would it be to see another defender just nicking a win in a brutal game, especially one like John Stones, who, you know, for all of his qualities, all of his brilliance, you know, has he got one of those huge iconic moments for City? I can think of goals he scored. I can think of great goals he scored. But there's not one in a moment.
Could it
like
be
that.
The goal line clearance against Liverpool?
Yeah, I think.
But that's one of those what if moments. It's not necessarily a moment that decided things in the moment. It's a what if. Had that gone in, how would things have reacted? But
exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I think we'll probably see a few of those kind of big moments over these next few games, because I don't see these games being easy for City. You know, it's arguably the easier title running on paper compared to the other two, but it's still going to be, you know, knowing what we know of City this season, it's going to be a very, very tough couple of games, especially if we are battling some injury issues and some squad issues that we've had pretty much all season. You know, it's been very, very rare that City have had their full amount of players available. We might get it towards the end of this season, but it's been very rare. So it would be, you know, it would be monumentous, you know, to have everyone back for these last couple of stretches and know that everyone is fighting for this. You know, this is it now. Now we're at the Champions League. This is it, you know, to come away from this season, as I said yesterday, with no trophies would be a huge disappointment. But I don't think it would be entirely in an entire shock, but considering the title's back in our hands, I think City now, they've got to go and do it. They've got to go and win it. And you wouldn't want to be in that Liverpool dressing room or their Arsenal dressing room thinking, oh my God, City are bearing down on us. They've been here before. They know what they're doing, especially Liverpool. They're experiencing this. They've been right in the thick of it before with us many times. And, you know, they've got a lot riding on it this season with Klopp leaving. Arsenal less so, but it's gonna be a really interesting watch over the next couple of weeks, especially as we get towards the final few games.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's funny because, you know, us City fans kind of we'll always have that typical City imprinted on us, and I think that's just the nature of supporting a football club or any sports team for that matter, that you're kind of always expecting the worst and maybe setting yourself up for a bit of coping. But if you're an Arsenal fan, if you're a Liverpool fan, if you're in those dressing rooms, after that weekend where Liverpool lose to Palace and Arsenal lose to Villa, you can kind of understand why they kind of go, yeah, okay, it's over. Because history tells us that when City have, you know, when the path is clear for City, win these five games, win these 10 games, they just go on and do it. I do want to talk about those games, though, because one thing that is a bit of a quirk is that City go away from home in four of the last six. Obviously, one of those being Spurs, which is like a triple, quadruple away game. Does that make any sort of difference? Now, when I think back to past title races, I don't remember thinking City were weaker away from home, and I don't necessarily think they have been this season. I'd have to see the statistics laid out in front of me. But does that change your thoughts on it, the fact that for almost all of the run-in, they're away from home?
Not particularly. I think, you know, as a fan, we look at it and we go, oh, God, that's not great. But I think all eyes circle on that Spurs away game, which obviously wasn't even meant to be that. It was meant to be a few months ago. Obviously, reschedule with how the things are. Even this Brighton game was meant to be, I think, was it last weekend with the FA Cup? So there would have been a different game this weekend. You know, the way the schedule just has to move about, you know, that's the kind of the price you pay when you want to go far in multiple competitions, you know. But I don't think the dressing room are going to be thinking about that. I don't think there's going to be anyone outside of the most paranoid City fans thinking, oh my God, four away games over the last six. I'm sure there's been similar kind of records in title winning seasons. I just don't think it matters. You know, if it was, say, United away, Spurs away, Villa away, then it's a different story. And I don't want to demean the likes of Brighton or, you know, the likes of Fulham, for example, because they're good teams. They can hold their own. You know, our record against Brighton, as we'll come on to a little bit later, is quite interesting. But we are Manchester City. You've just got to go and win your games. I don't think you can find excuses in going, oh, well, we had four away games of our last six. Yeah, but your last game of the season's at home. City's record away from home on the last day of the season when the title's on the line. Well, to be fair, when the title's on the line on the last day of the season and City are in it, they always won it. But to have that game at home, I think, is huge. That having that game specifically is huge.
Yeah, and I just want to ask this one question before we go to a break and come back and kind of zoom in on the Brighton game a bit more. Do you still feel, we've asked this question probably a million times in the last few weeks now, but do you still feel that City have to win out in order to win the title, or do we foresee Arsenal and Liverpool dropping more points along the way?
I don't want to consider anything but winning out from here. You know, I think that's the way you've got to approach it, as both, you know, the players, the coaching staff, and as fans as well. We've just got to go into it with the confidence that, one, we can win all six of these games, and two, we have to. I think the moment you start thinking about other teams is as a player, that's when you start getting a bit more worried, and that creeps into your head, and maybe complacency, because you think, oh, but they'll drop points there, they'll drop points there. As a fan, I just think it drives you insane. You shouldn't want to focus on what other teams are doing. You know, especially, you know, yes, we're sat in third at the moment, but, you know, we win all our games, we win the title. You know, a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't like that. I've been quoted as saying, you know, I thought we were 99% out of the title race, because of how it turned out. And I thought, you know, from there on, Liverpool and Arsenal are probably going to go and pretty much win out, and City wouldn't. But, you know, weird things happen. Weird things could still happen. You know, you never know in this league. Who would have predicted Palace winning at Anfield, for crying out loud? Anything can happen, but City have just got to look at it. And I think as fans, we've got to look at it as saying, no, we win these six games, we win the title. Anything less is just a bit of a sideshow, really, and you're trying to create a talking point that shouldn't be there.
That's the mentality monster I know and love. All right, that'll do for part one. Stay right where you are. We'll be back in a quick moment.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. If you are new here, please hit follow, hit subscribe, leave a rating and leave a review. Let's zoom in a bit, Ollie, on the trip to the Amex this evening. And I think we have to talk about the injury news first. Obviously, we saw earlier in the week that Erling Haaland, John Stones, Phil Foden all weren't in training. Now, we have had some confirmation from Pep Guardiola that Haaland will be out against Brighton. So we'll get into that in a moment. But Phil Foden and John Stones will be back. Sounds like they had some sort of cold or a flu. Let's talk about Haaland, actually, because it's been a funny one with him lately. We saw him kind of get, you know, out-dueled and out-fought in the Real Madrid tie. He's been a bit cold in front of goal. I think he's got four Premier League goals in 2024, and then he had the four or five. It was against Luton in the FA Cup. So I'm not necessarily suggesting that Erling Haaland not being there is not a miss. However, it's not necessarily like we're taking out a goal a game Erling Haaland at the moment, is it?
No, exactly. I think, you know, if Haaland was in fantastic form, I think we'd all be a bit more, oh, that's not very good. But I think the way you've just got to look at it, and, you know, very weirdly positive for me, is you've got to look at it, it's a chance for Julian Alvarez. You know, he's going to step, we know he's going to step in. This is the joy of having two fantastic strikers. You know, on one hand, we've got the best striker in the world who should have won the Ballon d'Or, you know, broken every record last season, is still breaking records this season. Even with the slower goal rate he's produced, and then his backup is the World Cup winning striker, number nine for Argentina. It's a pretty ideal situation. You know, yes, you can talk about Alvarez's form. He's been similarly lacking in goals, but I don't think, you know, it's the drop off isn't a chasm as many will try and say it is. I still think Alvarez offers enough threat in front of goal, enough threat in, and probably even more threat in terms of link-up play. Haaland is a loss in a lot of areas, but, you know, Alvarez makes up for it in other things that Haaland doesn't do. It's a bit of a catch-22 almost, but I'm not gonna sit here worrying about not having Erling Haaland when his number two is not just as good, but he's very, very good and he's in his own right.
I doubt this happens. Is there any chance that we see neither Haaland nor Alvarez and we see a throwback to the false nine era, particularly against a team in Brighton who themselves are going to want to control possession and maybe slow the tempo down and smother you a bit? Is there any chance that City try and counteract that by throwing in an extra midfielder? Or, you know, we saw Oscar Bob come on in the FA Cup semifinal and he played centrally and he was pretty magnificent for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this game was in, say, November, I think it would be much more of a chance. But I think, you know, end of April, you're six games out. It's a huge game. You just go with what you know. You know, the team, I doubt they've been training a false nine formation on the side and the tactics and the patterns that need to go into that just in case. You know, it's more, okay, it's either going to be Alvarez or Haaland. And you know, we've got all the decisions been made. Will we see Oscar Bob come on centrally again and do a job? Maybe if he's needed. It's great to have that option. And you know, as a huge Oscar Bob fan, if that ended up being the team, I wouldn't be against it. But I just think this late in the season, you just go with what we know, and that is Julian Alvarez stepping in for Erling Haaland.
Are we in the territory of you play your best 11 in every single game from here on out? Or is there a chance we see slight rotation from game to game?
I think if there's going to be any rotation, I think it's going to be with these two next games, you know, Brighton and Forest, just because of the turnaround. After Forest, you get a week, there's a week in between games. It becomes a hell of a lot easier. But I think, you know, at this point, it's Pep is going to find his best 11. He's probably already got it in his head. He's probably known it for a few weeks, and he's just going to play that until the end of the season, injuries permitting. And he knows, even in the case of injuries, who he will turn to. You know, he knows, you know, I don't think we're going to see Sergio Gomez coming in to give Josko Guardiola-esque, or Nathan Ake goes into playing left centre-back and we move Diaz over, for example. I don't think we're going to be seeing any of that sort of messing around. I think we're just going to see straight up what the 11 is. And there's a couple of decisions in that, into what goes into our best 11 at the moment, as there usually is in every, you know, City end of season for City. But yeah, you just play your best, don't you? At this point, when it's this close, you've just got to play your best 11.
Is there a question mark between Jeremy Doku and Jack Grealish at the moment? Because we've seen in the home leg against Real Madrid and the FA Cup semi-final that Doku coming on later in the game provided a huge spark and a much needed spark for City and helped create both of the goals in those games. I took some heat online suggesting that that was the correct way to use the combination of Jack Grealish and Jeremy Doku, which was Grealish is your thunder. He can, you know, he can hold on to the ball and he can kind of run a defender ragged for 65 minutes and make them do shuttle run after shuttle run after shuttle run. And then you bring on Jeremy Doku against tired legs, and Jeremy Doku against tired legs is as dangerous as anybody in Europe. And in the past few weeks, I think he's gotten a lot better in the final third with his decision-making and just his all-around ability to pick out City players and not the the corner flag. But is there any question between those two? Can you play them together, Jeremy Doku on the right, perhaps?
I think you could play them together. I don't think I would. If Foden's fully available, then you play Foden, you get Bernardo and you get Kevin De Bruyne in. That's the only way you can do that. But I completely agree. I said it on Monday. I mean, me, Alex and Bailey all said it on Monday's episode. This is the perfect way to use Jeremy Doku. Next season's a different story. But for this season, for the end of this season, you know, we know what Jack Grealish is. We know what quality, what ability, and, you know, the kind of play you're going to get from him. The point with Doku is you're bringing him on 65, 70 minutes, as you said, against tired legs, and he's a bit more unpredictable. You don't exactly know what he's going to do. You don't know the kind of runs he's going to make. That's exactly the perfect way to use him at this moment in time. You know, if he starts on the right, then it's kind of, okay, no holds barred, Pep's going to have to go for it, or, you know, it's because of an injury or something else. And I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I think for the rest of this season, on the permit that everyone in attack is fit, or in terms of the wing, who could play out wide, you're starting Grealish on the left and you're bringing Doku on late in the game if you need to.
Yeah, and particularly in a game, like I mentioned, against a team that themselves will try and hold on to the ball and control things. So you kind of have to counteract that by doing it yourself. Speaking of managerial picks and team selection, we do have to talk about Brighton a bit, because Roberto De Zerbi said today that they've got tons of injury issues. Sounds like there'll be no Julio Enciso, Billy Gilmore, Tariq Lamptey, James Milner, Jack Hinchelwood, who is a bit of an unknown to me. I think I remember him scoring in a Premier League game earlier this season, but no Sully March and no Kairu Mitoma. So really, there's no excuses for City here, right? I mean, if there is a time to play Brighton, it's now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you don't want to kind of make your own fortune out of others' misery, but the fact is City need to be winning this game. And they can't be approaching it as, oh, it's Brighton, it's a bit tricky. No, you just go in and take it on. You know, they've had a bit of an up and down season. You know, they're one win in five in all competitions. It's the same record in the Premier League. Their last win was against Nottingham Forest on the 10th of March. Their only win before that was against Sheffield United on the 18th of February. And their only win in the last five was 1-0 against Roma after losing the first leg 4-0 when Roma rotated massively for their second leg. You know, they're not in good form. You know, this is a team, you know, of course they've got all the potential to come and give City a bit of a fright. You know, they've got results of us against before, but, you know, the two games that I think of when I think of that were both after City had won a title and rotated a little bit more. You know, they got results against rotated sides. But the fact is, this is a side that City need to be beating if they want to show they're serious about going for the title again. You know, they need to get points on the board after a couple of games away from the Premier League. And as we say, you know, I don't want to take fortune out of others' misery, but there's no better time to play Brighton and a Roberto Di Zerbi team this season, especially with the respect that Pep continually pays him because he knows how influential he's been.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think last season we had, I think it finished 2-2, but it was an absolute thriller. I can't remember if City had won the league at that point. Perhaps they had already. But hopefully we have a bit less of a dramatic day on the South Coast this time. I will. I'll leave you with this. If we do see any of those Brighton wingers who can be tricky and speedy running at Ruben Diaz and John Stones, hopefully they will say, "You shall not pass." That's it for us today. Ollie, thank you very much.
No problem at all.
And listeners, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow to dissect, hopefully, another City win. Until next time, see you later.
Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.